This is First Coast Forum, a discussion of the top local issues in our community. We welcome your opinions. Email your comments or suggestions to firstcoastforum@coxinc.com. First Coast Forum is a public service program of Cox Media Group Jacksonville.
Salutations, my good people of Jacksonville. I'm Brian Middleton, and this is First Coast Forum. And even though the holiday season is wrapping up, there's another season that's just starting to hit its stride, flu season. And here to talk to us about all things flu is Dr. Matthew Modansky, a Baptist primary care in Neptune Beach. Doctor, thanks for joining us. We're going to go ahead and get started. Can you tell me what exactly is influenza?
Influenza is a virus, and around this time of year, usually more prevalent. We hear people getting it. It usually starts to peak in winter. It is a contagious virus that really is transmitted through droplet, whether it's sneezing, coughing, or on surface. It's usually onset from when you start getting sick is about really 1 to 4 days, kind of average around day two. And getting sick with the flu usually shows as a fever, can have a cough, a headache, a sore throat, nausea, vomiting. You can get some fatigue, muscle aches, and generally feel fairly lousy. You know, when they hit the office, usually when you open the door to the exam room, they're almost in the fetal position on a table. It is a miserable experience.
So if you have somebody who's sneezing and coughing and they just look sick, then there's a good possibility around this time of year that they may have the flu. Stay away from them?
Yeah, so when as far as trying to avoid, when we talk about prevention, we have various things that we can talk about more in prevention. But one thing is avoidance of people that are sick. And if you know that you're sick, really trying to keep yourself at home, trying to stop spread of the illness.
So tell me, when exactly is the flu season?
The flu season starts about October and really can kind of runs till about March. We've seen peaks in Jacksonville really in as late as February and March.
Can you get the flu outside of that flu season, though?
Yes. Yes. It's generally, though, it starts to peak as far as epidemics and pandemics. Really more in the wintertime when people are more huddled around in different locations. But yes, you can get it other times of year as well.
It always scares me when I hear demic. So epidemic, pandemic. I feel like, man, there's no survival if you have an epidemic. When you say that can only happen during like flu season when it's considered an epidemic with flu? Is that what
Well, it just reaches a certain proportion of population that starts getting the flu. And right now, if you look at certain trends on where they're starting to hit within the country, we're actually starting to see more of these epidemics or these outbreaks in different regions right now nationally. Right now, as far as looking in places like New York, New England, California, and if you actually take a look at Louisiana, go straight line due north, you're starting to see more of these outbreaks. Here in Jacksonville, we really have not seen to that degree. In the state of Florida, if you look at Florida, we've seen some outbreaks that have occurred down towards Miami, West Palm, and Tampa. And again, in Jacksonville, it's been fairly mild at this point. But again, we can still start to peak even as late as March and February.
So is the flu deadly?
So yes, there are certain populations that we worry about. The flu is deadly. If you look as far as what the flu hits in the country and take a step back, about 9 million to about 36 million people will get the flu in the country per year. They've been, if we look back on the data in that range since about 2010, that also about 140 to 700,000 people will get hospitalized. The flu can actually per year kill about 12,000 to 56,000 people in a year. You know, and if you think about our Jaguars field and stadium, you know, that's a lot of people. And it is deadly and it's dangerous. There are certain population groups that it's actually more dangerous for.
And what would those be? I was about to ask you that right now because, man, when you start saying 56,000, I need to know if I'm in this group or not. I got to go get a shot or something. So who is most likely to, you know, have such an adverse effect to the flu as far as death?
Well, the population in general is always at risk. But the higher risk population are little ones, kids, people over 65, people that are pregnant. You have people that have a weakened immune system, diabetics, asthmatics, people with COPD, heart disease. So people with some underlying significant health conditions, as well as the older and very young, are more at risk.
I get the, if you have maybe another health condition going into this, it can kind of compound and, you know, you could put yourself into that actual group where, man, you really got to make sure that you're taking care of yourself or else it could go really bad for you. But as far as it being for really young people or really old people, is there, what's the common denominator between those two that put them more at risk at having maybe possible death from the flu?
It's the immune system and building up a response, gotcha. And it's having a weakened potentially immune system. You will find if we're talking about vaccines, people that are over 65, we actually use a high-dose vaccine to try and build the immune system to get a better response to build what we call antibodies, which are our troops protecting us against infection. And actually, in ages six months to 8 years, for the first vaccine that a little one gets for the flu, they actually get two. They get one and then a second one another month apart to try and build that immune system to protect them against the flu.
Should we get a flu shot? Why or why not?
Yes, should get a flu shot. And especially when you don't even talk about the little ones or if you have somebody that is in one of those high-risk groups at home, you kind of can think of it as a herd mentality in the sense of animals herd around and keep the most weakest in the center of the herd and the strongest ones on the outside. Well, what you're doing is if you're surrounding the little ones or the people in the household with people that have been vaccinated, you're trying to prevent that from actually reaching into the household itself. So actually having a lot of people vaccinated tries to prevent the outbreak or an outbreak from getting started and tries to form some form of protection onto the people that are receiving the vaccine. One thing, though, with the vaccine is you do need to have it starting now. It takes about 2 weeks for the vaccine to become effective.
So what would you say to adults, even older kids, maybe like teenagers, up through 40, 50 years old, what would you say to them if they have never had a flu shot and I'm guessing that their immune system, if they don't have some other condition, is mature? I don't know what would even be the right phrasing for that, but it's grown up. The immune system has grown up as well. Isn't there something to saying that, hey, okay, your immune system is fighting this off without the flu shot, so let's let it continue to do that on its own? Or does the flu shot always help your immune system even more against potentially having the flu during the season?
Well, the flu shot tries to stop the issue in the first place. It's a lot nicer to not have the fire than running for the fire extinguisher. Mm. So really, and the flu is miserable. You are laid up on a couch for about a week, and you are just not a happy person. So whether it's school or work, trying to not to miss that time and use up your time off that you like to save because you're laid up for a week for the flu, trying to avoid that. The flu shot is safe. We highly recommend it. And it, again, it's much nicer to prevent this thing in the first place. And there are certain things that people can also do even besides the flu shot for prevention. And you mentioned a little bit as far as some avoidance before. Other things that really can be done is a lot of hand washing, soap and water. You can also use certain things as alcohol, those alcohol-based hand cleansers. Also, if you're sick, trying to stay home. There is also the notion that the flu droplets can stay alive on a surface for about 24 hours. So you actually want to keep using disinfectant on surfaces at home clean as well. So there are certain things that you can actually do preventatively in that sense. And, you know, that and prevention is pretty much key. You know, there's a little story to paraphrase from a doctor, Pedro Jose Greer, who worked in South Florida as far as medicine. You know, it's kind of if I went to a river and saw somebody in there drowning, I try and get them out. The next day I go back to the river, there's two people. Well, get them out. Next day, 10, next day, 100, next day, 1,000. I'm doing nothing but, as a physician, getting people and trying to save them. Well, eventually, you want to go to the source of the river where people are falling in the first place, whether it's diabetes, blood pressure, cholesterol, or the flu. Certain things like the flu shot help people from falling in the first place and protects them from actually getting sick. And that's what we are trying to do in the medical community, is provide these vaccines, provide this information to try and people help them from falling in the river.
Oh, we could wrap it up right there, man. That was great. Man, okay. Well, let's say that you want to get the flu shot. What are some of the potential side effects from getting the flu shot?
Well, the first question really is when people and I hear all the time is, I got the flu shot, now I got the flu. Well, the flu shot does not cause the flu. Certain symptoms from it, you can get some redness, some soreness, some tenderness, some swelling in the region, and even sometimes a low-grade fever. Those are the side effects that we can see with the flu shot. We're not using the nasal flu shot anymore, so we don't really worry much about anything with that. But we do have some symptoms that can come along with the flu shot. When people say, you know, the flu shot gave me the flu, there are some other things that could have occurred. One, actually, it's 2 weeks before the flu shot takes effect. You could have been unfortunate enough to actually develop the flu during that time. You actually even could have gotten another virus, not particularly the flu virus, but something like a rhinovirus, which is another one that somewhat mimics it and is more of like a cold and just it can be pretty nasty, too.
So when you do get some of those side effect symptoms, how long do those usually last?
Usually within a day or two. Those usually go around pretty quick and really not very significant that we see. I don't hear really many people complain about it within the office setting. The flu shot is, just to clarify, is not 100% protective.
Right.
Okay. You can still get the flu with a flu shot. We only cover certain strains per year. Okay, and they try and determine what strains are going to be most prevalent. And so there is still a chance of getting the flu with the flu shot. But the immune system, it helps. What it does is it builds up the antibodies in the body to fight it. That way you're basically creating your ground troops before the enemy attacks, getting prepared to stop it before it hits. But there are circumstances where that 1 year with the swine flu that it wasn't covered in that strain, and it still got through. And there's some circumstances that we're looking at this year. There's an H3N2 strain of an influenza this year.
That sounds terrible.
I know, doesn't it?
I don't even know what that means. That sounds like, oh, please keep it away from me. Go ahead, though. I'm sorry.
So yeah, it's part of the it's a flu one that we're actually seeing a little bit more of this year. And the problem with that one is a little more resistant to the flu vaccine, and is a little more nasty when you get it. So we're kind of still watching that one. But there are cases where I've seen patients and that really have had the flu vaccine and still developed the flu. It still can happen, but we're trying to use every weapon at our disposal to get it from happening in the first place. That's why we still recommend the vaccine.
I feel like I'm back at square one. So there are different strands of the flu. There's not just when I hear common cold, I'm just like, oh, there's a cold. You can get it. When I hear the flu, I'm like, oh, you can get the flu, but you can get a different type of flu. Like, there's not just one flu.
Right.
I think I sound so simple right now. I apologize. Can you please explain that one to me? And then the way that you guys figure out the flu shots, you figure out which strand of flu is going to be the most prevalent for that year, or that season?
Yes. So the notion is, for influenza, it's a cluster of different viruses that all fall under this category of influenza virus. And these different strains that are out there, you might hear in doctor's offices doing testing, there's influenza A, B, C, and D. The ones we really get concerned about that are really more harmful and more widespread are A and B. Then, within the A and B, they even break down to different ones. So their vaccines, they try and look at which are going to be the most common strains potentially for that year. We call one a quadrivalent, another one a trivalent. Tri meaning three, they'll cover 2A and 1B strand. And the quadrivalent vaccines cover 2A and 2B strands. But they try to educatedly guess at which ones are going to be for this year going to be the most common. And that's one that they put in the vaccine. And really, then we just kind of hope for the best at that point.
Yeah.
So there are multiple strains of the vaccine and or multiple strains of the virus. And the vaccine tries to cover the most common ones of them. But yes, there are different strains, and we only wish it was so simple as there was only one.
I'm telling you, man, I'm learning so much. So is there a test to determine if someone has the flu? And if so, how does that test work?
All right. Well, years ago, I did my residency here at University of Florida over in at Shands years ago. And back then, when we did not have any flu testing, you know, someone came into the office and they look like they had the flu based on their symptoms and their history. It's like, you know what? You have the flu. There was no test. The test has then since really been developed, which we're starting to use more in offices, that actually check to see if someone has the flu. The test is really they put a Q-tip really up in towards the sinuses into the nose and run the test. It's about 10 or 15 minutes to do. The only problem with the test, it's not 100% accurate. It can sometimes miss. And usually, though, when it calls it, we feel fairly confident, but it's not 100%. So you might even find doctors who might do a test on you in the office for flu, be negative, and still want to treat you with medication geared for the flu.
How are you determining from that test, like what is showing up on the test? Is it like a something you see on an X-ray out here guessing?
Well, the test actually looks like if you were looking at a pregnancy test as far as lines. Oh. You see multiple lines and one to line up that what we call a control line that it actually is working. And then one line for influenza A and one line for influenza B type strains. And then really, it's up to the physician or the medical provider at that point to determine, okay, is this something we're treating with certain flu type medications or is more of a symptom treatment, or where are we going now with this? Do we even believe it's flu?
If somebody has one of those conditions that you were talking about before, like diabetes, is there a different way that you would treat a person who has a condition like that with the flu, or is it the same whether you are normally healthy outside of having the flu or if you have another like medical condition on top of having the flu?
Well, we start at basic first as far as for any patient. With any patient, you worry about the flu itself and certain bad things that can happen with the flu, and these are the things that really would get somebody hospitalized. If somebody, you know, you can get more minor things. They can also get what we call a secondary bacterial infection where bacteria moved in because they were weakened in their immune system. You get a sinus infection. You get ear infection. But more sinister, you can get pneumonias. You can actually, the stuff that gets people in the hospital is a pneumonia or respiratory condition. You, with the nausea and vomiting, they can get dehydrated and not keeping fluid in. It actually can become so severe. I mean, this does kill people. Can be affect the brain, the kidneys, and even do something we call sepsis, which is the inflammation in the body that's triggered by this, can drop blood pressure. So what you do is if you're for at-risk population, say someone with asthma or COPD, you know, we get a little bit more concerned about the breathing. So making sure that they're breathing okay and wanting to have a shorter fuse on them if they're starting to have and starting to struggle. So you're really kind of watching the at-risk populations for some of the more nasty things that can happen with the flu that they're not happening. And in diabetic, their sugar could be all over the place. So you want to really watch the sugars. Are they coming way too high? Are they dropping to the ground? Are they staying dehydrated? So you have to really kind of watch the people that are more at risk and have a shorter fuse for being more aggressive. There are medications we use for the flu. There are something called Tamiflu and Relenza, the most common, Tamiflu being oral. Now, these medications that are used for the flu are generally really have to be initiated within the first 48 hours. So if Tamiflu, say, is reused within the first 48 hours, the benefit of the medication is trying to decrease the symptoms a hair bit, but more so even shorten the course of the illness by maybe a day or two. If somebody is so sick they're hospitalized, you might find even though the hospital actually might administer the drug after the first 48 hours to try and get some benefit, even though it's somewhat decreased after that time frame.
If someone gets the flu, how long does that usually last?
Yeah, that's the problem. It can last anywhere from days to a week plus.
Oh, yeah. A week plus.
Yeah, so you can leave about a week or so, and it really can knock you down. And then you get worried that, again, this is what we call secondary bacterial infection, that you got so weak from the flu was clearing out, that all of a sudden now something else swooped in and got you. So you can really be you can be down and out for the count for a good week.
Is that pretty common or is that rare where you have the secondary bacteria come in after the flu is starting to clear out?
It's more rare, but it's something that, you know, if it's not beginning to clear out, maybe it's time then to see the physician. So, or there's something brand new. You were doing great. You were 90% better and all of a sudden you took a U-turn and now you're horrible again and you're coughing and you have coughing stuff up and everything else has been fine, then we worry did something else move in at that point where you were doing much better.
And normally if you are sick and you're feeling really bad, you recommend just going ahead and seeing your doctor, right? Or is this something people try to tough things out all the time, or try to self, you know, diagnose and medicate it out all the time? I mean, I'm one of them. I do it. I admit it, even though I have a doctor. But do you recommend, like, you're feeling bad, you have some of these symptoms, just go schedule an appointment to go check it out?
This is the tricky part because, you know, in general, forgetting flu parsin, you know, when someone has the common cold, you know, not much we're doing in the office as far as, you know, supportive care. And the flu, for that medication to be effective, it's really within the first 48 hours. If you're suspecting the flu and you're looking for treatment to try and shorten it, then you're really going to want to be seen within the first 48 hours. Outside that window, really, you're trying to really mostly with chicken soup and a couch. So the notion is if you're going to try and do it and you think it's the flu, you're going to want to do it early. Otherwise, really, we haven't had the medication for flu forever either. And most of the time is really supportive care and rest and fluids. But we do have this medication. And if you're interested in using the medication or find out if it would be benefit for you, then really it's within 48 hours of onset of symptoms.
Awesome. Any final words for our listeners concerning the flu?
Well, really just about prevention. Again, trying to do what we can. We can't do everything. But taking the weapons that we do have available to us, such as the vaccines, such as hand washing, such as self-quarantining or avoiding people that are sick, cleaning surfaces, and use what we do have to try and keep you from getting sick in the first place. But realize that the medical providers out in the community in Jacksonville and through the country really are pretty well trained in what to do when people are getting sick with the flu, and also what to do if things are really deteriorating. And if you feel poorly enough and you have the flu and you're having difficulty breathing or any of those other more serious things I'd mentioned or can't keep fluids down, that would warrant to see a physician. So other than that, really just realize that we're there for y'all if you need us.
And that's all the time that we have for today. And as we head into the new year, make sure you stay safe this weekend. A big thanks to Dr. Matthew Modansky for joining me once again talking about the flu. And to everyone listening, have an amazing end to your 2017 and even better start to your 2018. I'm Brian Middleton, and you were listening to First Coast Forum.
You've been listening to First Coast Forum, a weekly public affairs program devoted to the top local issues in our community. If you have a comment or suggestion for a topic we should explore, our email is firstcoastforum@coxinc.com. That's firstcoastforum@coxinc.com. First Coast Forum is a production of Cox Media Group Jacksonville.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.